go ahead and take your copy of God's Word and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 42 through 47. This month, we are reviewing our three core values here at Cross Point. Last week, we discussed what it means to be gospel-centered, as well as specifically a couple of implications of what that looks like in our lives and for our church. Next week, we'll look at what it means to be mission-driven and how some of the things that we do here at Cross Point in order to do that. And today, we're looking at our second core value, community-minded. Community-minded. Now, the first thing we need to talk about is when we say community-minded, what do we mean by community? Obviously, the first thought that probably pops in many of your heads is the thought of kind of community, where you live, the neighborhood in which you live in, or the communities of Oswego or Yorkville or Montgomery and so on. And although we do care about all of those communities, it's not what we mean when we're talking about community-minded. We'll talk about those things next week when we speak on mission-driven. But a few years ago, when Pastor Cody was still here, and me and him were sitting down and praying through and thinking about these three core values, this was the toughest one as far as what the wording that we would use. Because what we were trying to get across was the fact that we wanted to be church, that we should be mindful of our local body, that we should be mindful of the church. But church-minded didn't really convey what we wanted to. And so we got down to two words. We looked at family-minded and community-minded, some descriptors of what the church should be. And we decided that family-minded, for a lot of singles, may misunderstand what we meant by that. And so we didn't want to make them feel excluded. And so we settled on community. And so when we think about these core values and we think about community mind, I just want to remind us that what we're talking about is this community of faith, Cross Point. Because ultimately, we want to make sure that the local church is not just a country club that we're part of. Local church is supposed to be more than that. It's supposed to be an authentic community in which we belong and are accountable. Local church is not supposed to be just a country club in which we're part of, but rather an authentic community in which we belong and are accountable. In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks, anybody seen that? Everybody? Okay, so some of you will understand this. Yeah, hold on, I'm getting there. The movie Castaway, Tom Hanks plays a punctual, obsessively so, FedEx executive named Chuck Nolan. He's en route to an assignment in Malaysia when the current plane crashes in the Pacific Ocean during a storm. Chuck Nolan is the sole survivor of the flight. And he washes ashore with some of the packages that were there on a deserted island. When his efforts to sail away contact help fail, Chuck learns that he has to learn how to survive on this island. And so, among other things, one of the things he tries to do is make fire. While doing so, he cuts his hand. And in the immediate aftermath of that pain, he starts throwing things, kicking things. And one of the things he does is he grabs this volleyball that was in one of the packages. And he grabs it and with his bloody hand and just throws it. Well, after a time sets on, loneliness starts to kick in. And so at some point he finds this volleyball again that now has this bloody handprint. He does a few things to it, and now it is a face. And he names it, of course, Wilson, because that's what the volleyball would want him to name it, as it is a Wilson product. And so he's there, and at different times you see him talking to the volleyball. There's even this one scene where he has a tooth that's messed up, and now he's going to have to try to knock his own tooth out to try to get rid of this pain. And he starts talking to Wilson about this procedure, this dental procedure he's about to do. I mean, as the movie goes on, you start to feel for Chuck Nolan. I mean, Gilligan at least had Skipper and Professor and Marianne and others, but Chuck Nolan had Wilson, you know? See, God did not create us to live alone, but create us to live in community. Genesis 2:18 even says, God says that it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. God created us to live in community. Specifically, Christianity, you've heard me say this multiple times, is not a Lone Ranger religion. It's a religion that's supposed to promote community. And we'll see in our passage this morning in Acts chapter 2 that even the early church, we see that they were community-minded, that they were watchful for other believers in their local setting. So, without further ado, our passage, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. And if you would, let's stand to honor the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. This morning we'll see four characteristics, really four devotions of a community-minded church. Four devotions of a community-minded church. Four characteristics that we see that the early church was truly devoted to. First, we see that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. A community-minded church is first and foremost going to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. In other words, a community-minded church is going to devote themselves to the preaching, teaching, studying, memorizing, meditating on God's word. It's one of the reasons when we took all of last year to really dive in and make sure we saw that this is not just a bunch of stories. It's not a book about a bunch of heroes to imitate or laws to obey, but it's really God's story, his revelation to us. One whole story. One of the reasons why we did that, because we find his word to be important, what he has revealed to us of who he is and what we are in light of that. A community-minded church knows that the best benefit to the community of believers is to be under the authority of God's word. A community-minded church knows that the best benefit to to the community is to allow God's word to speak into our lives. In order that our lives change, in order for the edifying of the community, for the building up of the community. Sometimes that's speaking in to give encouragement. Sometimes that's speaking into our lives to give rebuke. But it's all centered on what's found in God's word. So we want to make sure that here at Cross Point, we always place a great emphasis on the reading of God's word. The studying, the preaching, the memorization of God's word. This was a huge thing during the Reformation. It's one of the reasons pre-Reformation you walk into a church and the pulpit is somewhere off to the side. After the Reformation, the pulpit is in the center because they want to show a priority on God's word. Are devoted to the apostles' teaching. Secondly, they were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. So they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Now this means more than, hey, how are you doing? This is deeper than that. The time that the early church spent together in fellowship would have been to encourage each other, to challenge each other, as well as to enjoy each other. One of the best ways I can describe it is they did life together. I would love for this to be said of us here at Crosspoint, that we do life together. That we're participating in each other's lives, ultimately for the hope and purpose of God's glory being spread further. And so that means that we're authentic, that we're not a fake community, but an authentic community. I went back and watched something this morning just as I talked about it. I've talked about it maybe a couple times when speaking about community-mindedness. But I went back to watch it just because it's so funny. But you go and you YouTube family going to church, family getting ready to church, and this is good. But we don't have the license, or I would show it to you this morning. But you got this family who started the video. They're walking into church. It's like the Shekinah glory's on them or something. And they're walking in, and people are, you know, giving them winks, they're giving high five, fist bumps, and then it goes back and it says 30 minutes earlier. 30 minutes earlier, the alarm's going off, the mom's hitting the alarm, she wakes up the kids who are in the bed with her, for some reason the husband's out on the couch, and she's like running around, she's screaming, wake up, we gotta get ready. And they're arguing about who's gonna get in the shower first, and so she wins out, and so he's going. He throws in some toast in the toaster, which eventually that toast gets burnt, and then it flops back and to the current time, and they're strolling in, they're saying hi, they got the smiles on, the kids all happy and everything. And shows the little boys walking in with a smile on his face. And then it goes back to 30 minutes earlier. Kid's like, Dad, can I have a sandwich? And Dad's like, yeah, whatever. And the kid goes, grabs an ice cream sandwich and starts eating it for breakfast. And the dad doesn't know what's going on. He's trying to get ready to do his stuff. And he walks past his little girl who's there. And she said, Dad, I'm painting your nails. And it's on a picture, a really nice canvas that they had had. She's painting on it. The dad's like, oh, that's great, honey, and keeps on walking, and it's crazy, right? And then flips back to the church, and the girl's like twirling, and her mom's twirling her in her dress. She's all pretty, and then flips back to 30 minutes ago, and she's like twirling. She's trying to get her hair done. She won't stay still, you know? And keeps on doing this, going back and forth, back and forth. The car ride even, where Mom screams because she sees something on her face that shouldn't be there, and the dad slams on the brakes, and he's shaving, and he buzzes his hair. You see it at the very end when he turns to his wife after they're seated in the church, and there's this big chunk of hair missing. And it's a funny video, but it really gets across something that's so true, that often we come here and we look at other people in the church and we think, man, they've got it together. Let me let you in on a little secret. Everybody that's in here is a sinner. The people in front of you, the people behind you, the people sitting next to you, they don't have it together. People were talking about, we came in, people were like, oh, y'all are all matching and stuff. I was like, listen, if it were up to me, the kids would have been in here like in pajamas and their hair would have been all out of place. So listen, even my family, we do not have it together. So we need to be authentic with each other. To be truly community minded, we need to be authentic with each other. Where we don't put on this mask for church. We don't put on this facade that we've got everything going right. Because there's someone to your left or right or front or back that sometimes just needs to see that you're vulnerable too. That you have weaknesses too. But so often we have this notion that on Sundays we're supposed to come to church and make everybody believe that we're totally put together and that your sanctification has been reached, that you have reached the point of pure holiness. Well, this is not the case, though. God's still chipping away at all of us. He's still chipping away at the pieces that don't look like Christ in all of our lives. And it's helpful if others see that, if others know that, because then it gives them hope as well. And then they can speak into your life, and you can speak into their lives when we're true. And so bottom line is, we need to feel such a sense of community here at Crosspoint that we know that we can show each other our real lives. And we can let each other in. Build each other up, to rebuke where rebuke is needed, to encourage where encouragement is needed. And this idea of fellowship is also extended to a tangible manifestation of love for one another. You see verses 44 through 45, it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So they are watching out for each other. They were caring for each other. Those that were the poorest among them. Those that were hurting among them. They had an eye out. They were mindful of them. They were caring. And so let us do that here at Crosspoint. Let us be so community-minded that we're watching out and that we know the needs around us so that we can step in and fill those needs. So they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Verse 42. This is partially referring to the Lord's Supper that we just celebrated last week. Jesus instituted in his final Passover meal with his disciples. It's important for us to do this, to partake in the Lord's Supper. It's when we do it on a monthly basis. But not only that, look at verse 46, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people." A community-minded church is not just community-minded on Sundays. A community-minded church means that throughout the week. Our thoughts are continually with each other. Throughout the week, we're opening our homes and bringing each other in. It means that we're breaking bread with each other during the week, not just on Sundays. And it's in these environments, outside these walls, that sometimes real vulnerability can happen. When true community-mindedness is happening outside these walls, then we'll see even more community-mindedness inside these walls. We'll see a greater effect for God and for His kingdom and the advancement of that. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. And it says to the prayers. They were devoted to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. We want to make this year of 2019 truly a year of prayer. We've talked about this. I've told you about this. In 2 weeks, we'll start a series on Sunday about prayer, fasting, and proclamation. We'll talk about why we're called to pray and fast, and why we pray, how to best pray, why prayer is important. There's never been to a conference. I've never been to a church service where if the preacher says, "How many of you are exactly where you want to be in your prayer life?" that any hands raise. Because we all could be better. We all could strive to meet with God more. And then, especially in Southern Baptist circles, it would be even less than no hands raised. It would be like this more negative temperature. It would be negative hands if they ask how many of you are where you think you should be when it comes to the discipline of fasting. And so this year, what we're going to do, we've done different things, the last couple of years, but for an emphasis this year, we'll have 4 corporate days of fasting. Four days where all of the church will fast. The first being Sunday, February 10th. Where 4 days this year where corporately we'll not partake in food. And for a particular purpose each time, for February 10th, one of the things we'll be doing is praying and for God's to give us hunger for His righteousness. Just so happens, I was thinking about this morning as I was thinking about the different days, and I just realized that February 10th is also the first Journey Point has had all their preview services, and February 10th is their first, their actual launch, where they'll start having services every week. And so that will be a great time for us to also pray for them as we're fasting that day. And so we'll spend time prayer and fasting. What's amazing also is that this year's Secret Church, which is in April. The topic for this year's Secret Church is prayer, fasting, and the pursuit of God. So it's amazing how all of those things just kind of line up together, right? It's almost like someone's in control on the throne. So be in prayer for our prayer series coming soon in February. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to true fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Yes, for the Lord's Supper and in each other's homes. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer for each other, prayer for their mission, prayer for God's glory to be made known. Here's the overall truth We believe that we serve a triune God. One God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We see community even in the Godhead. We see community even in the Godhead. And if we are supposed to shine God, even if we're supposed to be reflections of who God is, then shouldn't we want to do community well inside the church so that the world sees a true picture of God? So that an outside person looking in could say, wow, that they really are a community. They really are mindful of each other. They really care about each other. So let that be said of us. And we see the conclusion in verse 47 says, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And isn't that ultimately what we want? We want people who didn't know God before they came in here, didn't know Him as Lord and Savior, to put their faith and trust in Him. And in Him alone. And that will lead us next week into mission-driven. So let's bow our head, close our eyes, our worship team will make their way up.